الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, elders and brothers, as we move away further from the era of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find that the light and the barakat starts diminishing and decreasing. There is more darkness that is setting in and the light is decreasing. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this to us in many different ahadiths. And he mentioned that this is such a trying time, such a dangerous time for your iman, that you will get people who in the morning, they are believers. But during the course of the day, they would say something, do something, get involved in something, through which they would lose their iman, and by the night, they will be disbelievers. You will get people who will be believers at night, but in the morning they will become disbelievers. This is the type of fitan and trials and tests and tribulations, and you know, distractions and deception that is going to come in the time. There is one narration which mentions, إِنَّ أَمَامَ الدَّجَّالِ سِنِينَ خَدَّاعَ. Prior to Dajjal coming, we all know that Dajjal is going to come, Hazrat Mahdi is going to come, and Dajjal is going to come, and Isa alayhi salam is going to come. But prior to that, there will be years of great deception. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this over 1400 years ago. Why did he tell us this? Not for some entertainment. No, so that you be wary, you be cognizant, you be awake, you be alert. Don't become negligent. Don't lose track of what's happening around you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are years of great deception. يُصَدَّقُ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ وَيُكَذَّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ. In those years, the liar, the person who is taught speaking complete lies, he will be believed. And the truthful one will be denied, he will be belied. وَيُؤْتَمَنُ فِي الْخَائِنِ. The treacherous person, he will be trusted. وَيُخَوَّنُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينِ. And the reliable person, the person who really wishes well for you, who wants good for you, he will be sidelined, he will be regarded as treacherous. And that is a time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the sinful people, people who have got no morals, people who have got no deen, people who have got no values, they will be calling the shots at that time. They will be making the decisions. They will be speaking as to what will happen and what will not happen. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in so many different ahadith, that is why in the books of hadith, you get a whole chapter that is known as Kitabul Fitan, the chapter on the fitnas that are going to come. The reason for this was obvious. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to conscientize his ummah that, remember, I'm warning you, these trying, difficult times are coming. Don't be gullible. Don't be foolish. Don't just accept everything. Be careful. Watch out. Protect your iman. Preserve your iman. So an intelligent person, when he looks at these conditions that are around him, and I don't wish to go into the details and spell out things before us, but we have to understand that now an intelligent person, what is his concern? What is his fikr? What is his worry? How I can protect and preserve my iman and the iman of my children. And respected friends, this is no conspiracy theory. You know, a lot of times when you speak these type of things, it's just dismissed. This is a conspiracy. These are realities. There is an effort being made out there to snatch the iman of people away. A great effort that is being. And if you look in the different departments, the different systems, sometimes it's the entertainment. The child is playing games. You're not understanding this. There's subliminary messages in those games. Subtle messages. People who research, they will show you, look at this game, look at this picture. What does this identify? In which line is it taking this child's mind away to? If you look at the education system, what the children are being taught in the school, children are being told now in school, innocent, masoom children, that if you are not happy with your gender, you can change your gender. If you're a boy and you're not happy, you can become a girl. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, 50 years ago, you know, if you told someone, this is what's going to happen, and then you're getting, you know, invitation cards that he asked and he said yes. And then someone is writing Mubarak at the bottom of that. He asked and he said yes. And this is something that, respected friends, I don't even think it's even appropriate for us to speak about it in the masjid. It is something so pathetic and so sickening that you don't want to even speak about it. As I mentioned, if you told people 50 years ago, they would have told you, you're crazy, nothing like that. You mean a person that's going to be born in a Muslim home, this is what's going to happen. It is happening. Two brides are better than one bride. Now that is the type of slogans you're hearing. That's the card that is going. Now there's two brides, lesbians, now they're getting married. Two brides are better than one bride. So you're hearing all this. As I mentioned, this is no conspiracy theory. This is a reality. Some years ago in India, some ulama did a research, and they found that a lot of Muslim girls are getting married to Hindu boys. And this is also happening in our environment. A lot of these things are just brushed under the carpet. People don't know what is happening behind the scenes. So they went to investigate and see what was the reason behind this. They found that the Indian government, they had offered a reward of 100,000 rupees for a Hindu boy who can get a Muslim girl in his marriage. They told them, your daughters protect them. They even had slogans. Bahu ko le lo, beti ko bachao. You save your daughter, but you bring a daughter-in-law from the Muslims. So if a Hindu boy could seduce a Muslim girl and tempt her into getting married with him, he would get 100,000 rupees. You know, 100,000 rupees for Indian context is a lot of money. So just for doing that. And then what they found also, they found that in the Hindi movies, which a lot of people are watching, and they don't realize that apart from being it haram, there's subliminary messages in those movies that they are watching. They found that in those movies, they are showing a lot of scenes of this nature, where a Hindu boy is falling in love with a Muslim girl. They're both courting, and then they're saying, how are we going to get married? Our parents will never accept, but then, you know, somehow or the other, it's just working. And then they're going to the Molana also, he's performing the nikah. They're going to the Pandit also. They're showing movies of this nature, which is now being so stored in the subconscious mind. And now, this is what they want to do now in the future. Now that girl, she's a Muslim girl, she gets involved. Now she already saw it in a movie 50 times, 100 times, innocently the whole family sitting and watching that haram. And this is the subliminary message. Now when it happens to the man's daughter, now he starts thinking and scratching his head. What happened? Where did I go wrong? You never realize that box in front of you. Did you ever take note of this? How many alcoholic messages there are? How many alcoholic advertisements there are when a person is watching TV? So when that child reaches 20, 25, 30 years, I think if he's not inclined to alcohol, something will be wrong. Something will be wrong because he's seen that thousands of times already. He's seen alcoholic advertisements. It's coming on the television all the time. He's watching it. His parents are watching it. The whole family is watching it. No one is even saying anything about it. So this is all having an effect on the subconscious mind. Sometimes they are watching TV. They are watching a movie. Someone popping cocaine. It's regarded to be cool. That person is glorified. He's taking cocaine. You don't realize now this child is growing up with that mind of his. You know, he's got that impressionable mind. This is all impacting on his mind. Later on, when the child grows up to become a drug addict, now the father is scratching his head. What happened here? What went wrong? I was a Muslim. I did everything. Respected friends, these are all realities. As I mentioned, these are not any conspiracy theories. They are there. There's information about it. I am not telling you this. You will go and do your research and you find a lot of non-Muslim psychologists who are concerned about humanity, who are concerned about their own children. They also came to the same conclusion. They said there are subliminary messages in what these children are watching. And unfortunately, we are like, you know, in a deep slumber. We are like in a deep sleep. We don't even know what is happening. We don't even know the realities of life. But Allah protect, you know, if that child goes off, imagine that child is your greatest asset. Your child is someone that you prepared to do anything for him. If that child gets sick, you will be prepared to spend all your wealth to treat that child. But that child loses his iman. That child loses his values. That child will be lost. Remember, you may disown that child. You may have all the wealth in the world. But if your child goes on the wrong path, you will have sleepless nights. You will have sleep. You will never be able to sleep. Because you'll always be worried. Even if you disown him, you kick him out of the house, every now and then it's going to come back to haunt you. What we need to ask ourselves, are we doing enough to protect our children? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we taking the necessary measures? You heard of the pandemic. Everyone went into a panic and everyone started taking What measures are we taking to protect our children's iman? Remember, you can take all the measures in the world. When your time is up, you have to leave the dunya. Your child has to leave this dunya. Some accident, some drowning, anything can happen. Natural catastrophes, people are getting, anything can happen, the child can leave. What matters is, does he leave with iman or without iman? Is that child a mu'min? Is that child going to grow up to be the coolness of your eyes? Or is that angel of yours going to turn into a demon? Is it going to make your life a misery? Is it going to give you sleepless nights? So this fikr, this concern, this worry, this pain, every father has to have. This is the worry you have to have. Don't worry about other things. The media will hype certain things up. They got no iman. So they will hype everything up. You have to worry about iman. Iman, because that is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned you about. When he told you all the hadiths, what he warned you about? He warned you about your iman. By protect your iman, preserve your iman, take care of your children, take care of their welfare, make sure you instill good values in them. Strengthen this iman, strengthen this quality of iman in them. Now there's so many different things that we can do as parents, but the first and most important thing is that we understand that there is a need for this. We understand that we are living in dangerous times. Imagine now, you're in a place where there's all wild animals. Are you just going to let your child go out freely and play? No, never. You will make sure he will not go out. And if he goes out, he will go out under your supervision. Where you find any little danger, you will immediately remove him. There's a freeway, and cars are moving very fast, at a high speed. You're going to let your child play on that freeway? No. You know what? We can't be narrow-minded nowadays, Molana. You know, you're being too hard. So let my child play here. He's just having some fun. Brother, can you understand where you are? You're on the freeway. Do you know how fast these cars are going? People are getting knocked all the time. Don't you realize the reality? Tomorrow when your child gets knocked, are you going to be pleased with that? Is that going to bring any satisfaction to your heart? Or are you going to be then grieving for the rest of your life? So when it comes to the physical well-being of our children, we will think very well. We will be very careful. We will take no chances. Why? Hey, this child mustn't get hurt. This child must not fall in a problem. This child must not get knocked. We'll make sure we'll go the extra mile. We will do everything. What do we do when it comes to deen? How much of measures are we taking when it comes to deen to say, this child, he needs to grow up as a flag bearer of Islam. One day this child, he must grow up like following the footsteps of Sahaba. His role model in life must not be some sports star. He must not be some actor. His role model must be Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. His role model must be Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. My daughter's role model must be Hazrat Fatima Zahra, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa. I wanted to grow up like that. I want to see those colors in these children. It doesn't matter. Remember, we don't have to make our children money-making machines. Now it's our concern is only about the materialistic thing. This child must get a position. This child must get a job. There's nothing wrong if it's done within the confines of Shariat, if you send your son to study. But remember, respected friends, more important than that is that he must have good values. He has to have values. What is the true worth of a man? The people of this world, they judge the worth of a man by his wealth. How much of money he's got. But in the sight of Allah, the true worth of a man is based on his values. That child that has got good values in him, now you need to take out time and instill those values in him. How am I going to now get the message across to this child? How am I going to instill the values of deen in the heart of this child? He needs to grow up understanding the importance of iman, understanding the importance of Islam. That is why you'll find, you know, so many different advices. They'll tell you, when the child is small, when you give him something, teach him to share. You're giving your child a chocolate. So you tell him, see son, I'm buying this chocolate, but when you go home, I want you to break, you know, maybe half of the chocolate or one, two pieces, and I want you to give it to your siblings. Your sister is at home, your brother is at home, go and share with them. You're already teaching him a very important lesson. When that child will grow up big, and it's happening all the time, he will be earning millions, but he won't worry about his siblings. Don't you see it happening all the time? Person has got everything. He's got all the money in the world, but he can't give his siblings nothing. He's got no generosity. He's so stingy. So you're already teaching him generosity. Every now and then, you're giving something in the hand of the child. You're telling him, son, take this here and give it to a poor person. There's a beggar there. You take it. You give it with your hands. Why? You're instilling this quality, this value in him. He understands. Remember, respected friends, we will be gone. Before you know it, we are gone from this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life is so short. People are dropping every day in front of us. Young people, with all the measures and everything, they're still dropping. What it shows you, remember, when your time is up, you have to leave this dunya. No matter what you do, no matter how much of, you know, you debate on whatever topic, bottom line is, there's no vaccine to chase Malakul Maut away. Can anyone found this vaccine, that the vaccine is going to chase Malakul Maut? There's no vaccine in the world. That same scientist who invented the vaccine, he will have to die also. So everyone will have to die. Kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut. We're going to leave this dunya. But that child, what do you leave behind? If you left values with him, remember, he will be an asset to his community. He will always be respected. People will look up to him. All the good that he will be doing in this world, which you instilled within him, you will be getting the reward. Imagine you gone in the qabr, you passed away, sadaqah jariyah. That child is giving some sadaqah, you getting the reward. He's reading some nafal namaz, he's reading Quran Sharif, he's making tilawat, you getting all the reward. What a great honor it is in the qabr. People are all like, you know, like drowning people, nothing coming. And here this man in the qabr, all the reward is coming. Oh, alhamdulillah, I left good pious children. Good children, they are doing good deeds, you know, they are performing their salah in jamaat, they are giving sadaqah, they are very committed when it comes to deen, they are reading Quran Sharif every day, they are making zikr every day. A very important aspect in the upbringing of our children is that we give them the correct Islamic education. Now this is something that many of us are lacking. As a child gets a little bit bigger, once he goes to high school, take him out of the madrasa. Now you don't understand and realize that madrasa is a fort for his iman. You are hearing of people becoming atheists all the time. All the time, university students, they're going. What they're teaching them there in that university, remember, a lot of all these different so-called theories are complete nonsense. They have no basis. The scientists themselves have laughed at these theories and said some of these theories are the biggest deception in the history of science. They're still teaching those theories to your children in the high school and the university. Why? Because only for one reason. They want to take Allah out of the equation. They want to bring in this atheism. And it is happening, it is a reality. Where children are coming home, a university is sometimes sending a letter or an email to his parents, or coming home and telling the parents, you know what, I don't believe in Allah anymore. I don't believe in the akhirat. This is all fairy tales. So this is happening all the time. So now we have to preserve and protect the iman of the child. And what really plays a very important role is the Islamic education. You know, the maktab system. Our ulama explained, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and you know Umar radiallahu anhu was that sahabi, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had there been a Nabi after me, it would have been Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And you look at the service that he rendered to Islam and the Muslims. We can never make enough dua for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and we can never praise him enough for this great, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that vision, that foresight, which unfortunately nowadays we don't have any foresight. There's no more visionaries left that people can think ahead. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he had implemented the system of the maktab, where he got few ustads to teach children. And he said, this impressionable time of their lives, whether they get worldly education and, you know, Western education or not, that doesn't really matter. But dini education is something that they have to have. In fact, on one occasion, one father came to complain to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, my son is very disrespectful to me. Umar radiallahu anhu calls his son in. What's the problem? So he asks Hazrat Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, tell me something. Does my father only have rights over me, or do I have rights over him? He says, no, you also have rights over him. What are my rights over my father? So Amirul Mu'mineen says, he should get a good pious wife to give you the good upbringing, and he should teach you deen. He should teach you deen and teach you, you know, respect and adab. He told Umar radiallahu anhu, my father didn't even fulfill one of my rights. He didn't even teach me one letter also. One letter of the Quran he didn't teach me. Umar radiallahu anhu had to dismiss the case. He told the father, you go and first sort yourself out. You never fulfill the rights of your child. Now you come in to complain that your child are not going to fulfill your rights. That was going to happen. It was bound to happen now. So respected friends, this maktab system is a very, very important thing. Time does not permit us now. The time is already expired. And this, you know, we can never overemphasize the importance of this. Get this child into a good madrasa with good ustads, good apas, inshallah, the colors of the ustad. The color, I'm telling you, all the money in the world, you can spend millions and billions. You are not wasting that money. It is just in a good cause, because this is what is going to bring these children up in a correct environment. Otherwise, the fear is once you move them away from the maktab system, you take this deen out of their lives, that child can become a delinquent, someone can become a lesbian, someone can become a gay, someone can run away, your daughter can run away with a Hindu boy, someone can even lose his iman and he can become an atheist. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding and give us the tawfiq as parents for us to understand this great responsibility we have towards our children. And may Allah guide us on every facet of our lives, every juncture of our lives, to make the right decisions. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.